Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish. I am speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope you didn't spend too much time stressing about the possibility of Penny Hardaway leaving the University of Memphis for the Orlando Magic, because yes, it was a real story, and yes, he really did interview, but it appears at this point that he will remain the head coach at the University of Memphis. I was on with Jeff Calkins earlier today. Talked about a text message I got from a source in real time that more or less said Penny Hardaway is not a candidate for the Orlando Magic job. After I got off the air with Jeff, made a phone call to that source and had a conversation. And I'll tell you about that momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Keith Smith's going to join me, longtime NBA writer. Based in Orlando, so I'll talk to him about the Magic vacancy and the NBA playoffs in general. Keith Smith's going to be here in the next segment right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them the Sporting News. Published a ranking of college football coaches earlier today. Number one is not a surprise. I'll tell you where Memphis coach Ryan Silverfield came in. We'll do it around 4:44. Vanderbilt. One win away from winning a second straight national title in baseball. Commodores beat Mississippi State last night by another great performance from Jack Leiter. He only allowed 3 hits in 6 innings. Vandy won the game 8-2. So if the Commodores win again tonight, season will be over. We'll talk College World Series a little later on this hour. Serena Williams had to retire in the first set of the first round at Wimbledon earlier today. Left the court in tears. Rough scene. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And we now have the details of a Memphis Police Department officer-involved accident that killed 2 people last Friday. The officer's name is Antonio Marshall. He's 27 years old, and he was driving 114 miles per hour on Walnut Grove.
Good Lord.
I don't even know how you could get to 114 miles per hour on Walnut Grove.
Me either.
114 miles per hour on Walnut Grove when he smashed into a car, ripped it in half, killed 2 people. Absolutely ridiculous. He has been charged with vehicular homicide, 2 counts. Hopefully he'll be punished accordingly. Can't drive 114 miles per hour on Walnut Grove. What are you doing? We'll talk more about it during 4 Notable Stories 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with the story that's been the biggest story in this market the past 3 days, and that story is, of course, the Orlando Magic opening, and just how serious, or not, of a candidate Memphis coach Penny Hardaway is for that job. This all started Sunday afternoon when Shams Charania from The Athletic reported that Penny Hardaway interviewed for the job and is a, quote, serious candidate to become the next head coach of the Orlando Magic, a franchise for which he starred in the 90s. The Orlando Sentinel then labeled him, you can go read it for yourself if you want to, in a headline, a, quote, leading candidate. Meantime, Penny had said nothing, which had left the rest of us to say a lot. So we talked about it from pretty much every angle yesterday. And then this morning, I was on the Jeff Calkins Show for my regularly scheduled Tuesday morning appearance. And naturally, Jeff asked me about it. So we're talking about it. And while we were talking about it, like right in the middle of our conversation, I got a text from an NBA person I trust. And the text said simply, quote, and I'm just quoting the text, Penny is not a real candidate for the Orlando job. So I shared that with the folks who were listening this morning. And then I called that person as soon as I got off the air. And in that conversation, here's what I was told. Again, from a reputable source whom I've known for years and trust immensely. I was told that, yes, Penny did in fact interview for the Orlando Magic job. And I was told that, yes, Penny was in fact impressive in that interview. But I was told the Magic are just not going to offer Penny Hardaway the job. Simple as that. I was told the general manager, John Hammond, likes Penny, respects Penny, but I was told Orlando is simply going to hire somebody other than Penny Hardaway. Who? Not sure. Kenny Atkinson is listed as the favorite in the betting markets. But even if it's not Kenny Atkinson, I was told that it will not be Penny Hardaway. Now, could things change? I suppose they could. Things sometimes change. But this person, who is a person who would know, didn't think that things would change to the point to where they involved Penny Hardaway getting an offer from the Orlando Magic. So barring a big, gigantic, massive surprise and turn of events, Penny Hardaway will remain head coach of the Tigers for a fourth season. As for what happens next, honestly, this is when most coaches would leak a statement saying they are withdrawing their name from consideration. It happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times during the college coaching carousel weeks and months, I'll get a text from an agent or a coach. Hey, GP, just want to let you know I'm no longer involved with that job. Or, hey, just want to let you know so-and-so is no longer involved with that job if you could tweet it. And I know what that is every time. It is somebody, sure, trying to help me get a story, but it's a little self-serving. What they're trying to do is withdraw publicly from consideration after they know they're not going to get the job. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody else gets the job, they can forever say, yeah, I withdrew from that. I didn't want to be involved in that. The most famous one, or famous is the wrong word, but the most memorable one I was involved in was very early in the John Calipari years at Memphis, or at least very early when I was the beat writer. The Philadelphia 76ers had an opening. And Stephen A. Smith, who this is like before First Take, Stephen A. Smith was based in Philly, but did talk on like Best Damn Sports Show or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from John, and John said, hey, listen, tonight Stephen A. Smith's going to go on TV and say I should be the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. But I don't want that out there too long because it'll bury me in recruiting. Like, people will use it against me. They're already telling prospects all the time, I'm leaving Memphis to go here, go there. So, it's cool that Stephen A.'s going to say that I should be the next head coach of the Sixers, but I can't have that out there. So can we do this? Watch that show. When he says that, call me. And then I will give you a quote that says, I am not a candidate for the Philadelphia 76ers job. I'm going to remain the head coach at Memphis. I said, sure, that sounds easy enough. And it went down exactly like that. I watched the show. Stephen A. said what he said. John Calipari should be the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. And like, this becomes a thing. Like, is John Calipari going to become the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers? Stephen A. Smith thinks he should. And then I call John, and he gives me a quote. And the quote is something along the lines of, hey, I'm flattered to hear my name connected to that franchise, but I am going to be remain the head coach at the University of Memphis. And that was the whole story. It was out there for 30 minutes from Stephen A. Smith, and I killed it pretty quickly. Well, you want to know the truth? Here's the truth. John was never getting that job. He was never going to get that job. Mm. I mean, never. If the first person Philadelphia wanted to hire didn't want it, they were going to try to hire somebody else, and it wasn't going to be John Calipari. And if the second person they tried to hire didn't want it, they were going to try to hire somebody else, but it wasn't going to be John Calipari. John knew he was never going to be the Sixers coach. So it was in his best interest to say, I don't want to be the Sixers coach. And that is the way these things often work. Let's say there's five guys who are publicly known candidates for the Michigan job. Once four of those guys know who's getting the job and they ain't in, boy, you start seeing the tweets. So-and-so is withdrawn. And I suspect, or at least I assume it's possible that Penny could do that any minute, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. Once you're sure you're not getting the job, why not release a statement, either through the school or your preferred reporter? I'm withdrawing from consideration for the Orlando Magic job. I'm flattered to even be considered. I was honored to get an interview. But ultimately, there is unfinished business at the University of Memphis, like I've said before, and I can't wait to get started my fourth season as a college basketball coach. That's what I would do if I were Penny Hardaway. He might just decide, I never said I was a candidate for the job. Somebody else reported that. So I don't feel any need to say I'm not a candidate for the job. Not the biggest deal either way. But that's at least one direction this could go. Jacques Vaughn did it earlier today. Woj tweeted, Jacques Vaughn is going to withdraw his name from all head coaching jobs, citing a desire to spend more time with his family. And I don't want to question Jacques Vaughn. I don't know him at all. But, like, is it really a desire to spend more time with your family? Or is it because you knew you weren't going to get any of these jobs, so let me just go ahead and withdraw my name from it? Either way, this is very normal stuff. So, for the sake of the conversation, let's assume that Penny Hardaway isn't getting the Magic job, but that he would have likely accepted it if it had been offered, because there is some belief that is the truth, or at least possibly the truth, that, yeah, Penny's going to remain at Memphis, and that's awesome, but he wanted to leave, or at least he was thinking about leaving. Evidence being that he did interview for the Orlando Magic job and has expressed an interest in being an NBA coach and has said on the record, if I were ever going to be an NBA coach, that is one of the markets I'd like to coach in. So, Big Bennett, let me ask you this as a Memphis fan. Mm-hmm. Does that bother you at all?
No. If the ultimate goal is to get to the top of your profession, then that's the top of your profession, is being an NBA head coach. If your gig is coaching and you want to get to the top of your profession, that's it. And so I don't fault him for interviewing with NBA teams or an NBA team. I think it makes a lot of sense. And frankly, he's proven, he's an NBA guy. We talked about yesterday the guys that he's working out with that aren't even, going to University of Memphis, but guys that are entering in the NBA draft and whatnot. RJ Hampton, we talked about. I got no problem with it. No.
I don't either. And I'm not certain all Memphis fans will be in line with you and I, but I would hope most reasonable Memphis fans are, because I know that fans often want to hear their coaches say, this is my job, this is the only job I want, and I would never even think about having another job. And sometimes coaches do actually say that. I don't know how often coaches actually mean that. But it can become a delicate situation when your name is publicly tied to other mm-hmm. jobs, when your fan base wants to hear you say, I would never leave here for anything. This happened to Tom Izzo a few years ago. Cleveland Cavaliers' job was open.
Right.
And, Tom is pretty open. You start making a list of the most straightforward college basketball coaches that I know, Tom Izzo is, if he's not at the top of the list, pretty close. You want to know what Tom Izzo thinks about something? Just ask him. He'll tell you. You're never going to get anything but straight answers from Tom. He might ask you to go off the record with him, but he's going to tell you the truth. When Tom tells me he thinks his team's going to be good, I know his team's going to be good. When he tells me he's got real questions about his team, I know he's got real questions about his team. So a few years ago, he's publicly linked to the Cleveland Cavaliers job. And this was, I believe, in a time where LeBron may or may not be there. It was unclear. And he was trying to figure out, like, you know, if LeBron's going to be there, I could be LeBron James coach. Like, that's something I've got to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But if LeBron's not going to be there, then I don't want to coach the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, of course, he would then take questions from the media in East Lansing. And they would be like, so, Tom, can you tell us you're going to be the head coach at Michigan State next season? And he was like, listen, I don't know. That's the truth. I don't know. I've been here a long time. I love my job. But, you know, I'd owe it to myself and my family to listen to these opportunities. And I guess I think I'll be back here, but I don't know for sure, which was a completely, in a normal profession, reasonable and honest and understandable response to that specific question. You know what? I don't know. But man, that don't fly with fans sometimes because they don't want to hear you don't know. They want to hear you do know, and you would never think about leaving this place. And I remember after that was all over, talking to Tom specifically about it. And he was like, let me ask you, how should I have handled that? Like, help me. Because I thought being honest was the right thing to do, but like, it clearly wasn't.
Right.
Because I was getting ripped by reporters and radio people throughout the state of Michigan that I've known forever. What should I have done? And so we talked through it. And I don't know that there's a perfect way to handle that. But we talked through it. And so I know when it is reported that Penny interviewed and that he's interested in the job and that he might really leave the University of Memphis for the Orlando Magic, that can be bothersome to some fans who just assume that Penny Hardaway would rather be the Memphis coach than literally anything else in the world. But the truth is, that's not true. I think he does love being the Memphis coach. And he'll be excited to be back on the campus for a fourth season. But clearly, he is intrigued by other things.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that, and again, I could be completely wrong about this. I don't think that there's like another college basketball job out there that he would, you know, necessarily prefer to have. I think he would want to coach here if he's going to coach college basketball.
I think that that's probably true. I'd have a hard time seeing Penny Hardaway leave the University of Memphis for another college job. But I wouldn't have a hard time seeing him leave for an NBA job. And I think if you would have had a hard time imagining that, then these past 3 days have probably been a little eye-opening. But as Jeff and I talked about this morning, you know, just because you might have had ideas about leaving doesn't mean if you come back, even if it's not because you wanted to come back, that you can't do great things. John Calipari was trying to leave multiple times in the 9 years he was at Memphis before he actually left. Like, if he would have been offered the Pitt job in 2003, he would have left for the Pitt job. If he would have been offered the Kentucky job after Tubby Smith left, when they hired Billy Gillespie, he would have been the Kentucky coach then. But he didn't get those offers. So he just came back to Memphis, did the best job he could do, and then put together the best four-year run in the history of Tiger basketball. Jeff was actually asking me about the time we were at the Final Four, and this whole John Calipari-Pitt thing was swirling. And I was a little vague on the details because, I mean, at this point is, what, nearly 20 years ago. But, and I actually said this morning, I was like, I don't know that I was the beat writer yet. But as I went back and started thinking about it, I absolutely was the beat writer. Because my first season on the beat full-time was the 2002-2003 season, because the first game I ever covered as the full-time beat writer, I believe, was Memphis-Syracuse in the Garden, Carmelo Anthony. And then the last game of that season was Carmelo Anthony leading Syracuse to a national title down in New Orleans. And so there was a lot of speculation that John was a candidate for the Pitt job. You know, he's from there. And I was trying to talk to John about it. Couldn't get him to talk about it. Went down to the Final Four trying to get other people to talk about it. Wasn't really getting anywhere. I'll make this story quick. But, you know, the Pitt beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette or whatever newspaper it was at the time was trying to do the same thing I was doing. Like, I was trying to find out if John Calipari is going to be the next Pitt coach, and he was trying to find out who's going to be the next Pitt coach, mm-hmm. maybe John Calipari. And so we actually got together and had, I don't know if it was dinner, drinks, but we were in the same bar/restaurant. And he was like, so have you talked to John? I said, I haven't talked to him in 2 days. I've called. I've texted. I can't get him. He's not usually like this. Like, usually if I want to talk to John Calipari, I can get him, but he's gone dark on me. Won't answer anymore. I said, hold up. Give me your phone. He said, why? I said, I'm going to call John Calipari from your phone. I said, do you have a Pittsburgh area code? Like, whatever that area code is. He said, yeah. I said, cool. Let me call from your phone. I dialed John's number from the Pitt reporter's phone so that a Pittsburgh area code pops up. First answer. I mean, first ring. Hello?
Yep.
John? Yeah? Hey, it's Gary Parrish. He was real confused.
Yeah, I bet.
And we talked for 30 seconds, and then that conversation was over. But he wanted the Pitt job. He was angling to get it. He couldn't wait to answer the first time he got a call from somebody with a Pittsburgh area code. But ultimately, Pitt wanted to go another direction. I was told at the time, because the people who were running the athletic department, or at least people who worked in that athletic department at the time, were some of the same people who were there when John was a young assistant, and they didn't remember him fondly from back then. So the idea of bringing him back to Pitt didn't make much sense. But either way, the biggest and best things John Calipari did came after he was trying to leave Memphis for Pitt. He just wasn't afforded the opportunity to leave Memphis for Pitt. So would Penny Hardaway have accepted an offer from the Orlando Magic? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know that anybody could say that for sure. But ultimately, it won't matter. He's going to remain the Memphis coach. He'll continue to recruit at a high level, assemble rosters that are good enough to win, and then, hopefully, fingers crossed, take his alma mater to the NCAA tournament for the first time next March. Keith Smith's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you. Life like this is what you like. The Sporting News published a list of the best college football coaches in the country, 1 through 130. It should not surprise you, Nick Saban was number one. I'll tell you where Ryan Silverfield, Mike Norvell, and some other notable coaches came in. We'll do that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, it's a longtime NBA writer. It's Keith Smith making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So Keith, obviously in this market for the past few days, the Penny Hardaway to Orlando Magic speculation has been the dominant story. Do you have a sense for how serious of a candidate Penny Hardaway ever was for the Orlando Magic job?
Yeah, I think it started out that it wasn't all that serious. I think it was he wasn't overly interested. I don't know how interested the team was in bringing him in, but they, from all accounts that I've been told, they met. And then at that point, it was kind of, whoa, wait a minute. This could be something that there could be something here. After they talked and gone through things together, that they decided, you know, hey, well, let's see where this goes. Now, Orlando is still looking at some other folks as well. So it may not be, you know, anything that happens there. But we're going to see here over, you know, the next several days, I think all signs point to Orlando's getting closer to finalizing something here, because everybody wants to have these things done in advance of the NBA draft.
The betting markets actually, you know, set odds on these types of things. And the last thing I saw was that Kenny Atkinson is considered the favorite to be the next Orlando Magic coach. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. From the sense of Kenny Atkinson's kind of calling card is developing young talent, and that's where Orlando is. They know that they are not going to be a playoff team probably for the next season, maybe even the season after that. But what they also know is they're flush with young talent. They're going to have two more top 10 picks join the team this offseason, so they are going to be focused on, hey, let's get these guys developed, built up, so we're ready to go, you know, when it is winning time. And that's something that Kenny Atkinson has done very, very well in his career. So that's why I think he's very close to the top of the list.
There is some thought that some Magic fans were enthusiastic about the possibility of a Magic icon like Penny Hardaway from the 90s returning as the head coach. Fast forward to 2021. How is Penny Hardaway, thought of in Orlando? You know that city better than most.
Yeah, I think it's gone very differently over the last few years with Penny, because I think what happened was when he left, there was a sense of, yeah, you know, he didn't want to be here anymore, and this isn't great, and Shaq left us too, and now, you know, this is just another sad tale for the Magic. But I want to say it was about maybe 4 years or so ago, maybe even five, Penny and Shaq did a sit down and talked about, you know, what could have been, and the two of them very much came to the agreement of, you know, maybe we should have stuck it out together in Orlando and not broken that up. We could have done something special. And I think Magic fans really took that to heart. And when they went through and added him to the Magic Hall of Fame and all that, that really was the end of any kind of bad feelings. Everything, you know, that upset them was all gone by that point. Everybody loves him once again.
I'm talking to Keith Smith, longtime NBA writer. He is on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Let's switch gears a big development from today. Chauncey Billups introduced formally as the next head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. Obviously, he was going to be asked about the sexual assault allegations from 1997. I'm not sure that the Portland media relations people and Portland organization in general handled that situation today. I know you saw it. What did you make of what went down today in that press conference?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was handled about as poorly as you could. There was definitely some defensiveness on the part of Neil O'Shea, the team's general manager. He was asked, you know, they kind of issued a statement, as you do at the start of those types of things, of, you know, here's where we're at, here's what we did, you know, with this. And then when he was asked directly about, how did you do your instructions, you know, well, where did that, or your investigation rather, where did that come through? He very much left it as, that's proprietary. I don't want to answer that. That's not a very good answer. You know, because of what this situation was, that deserves more transparency. Then Chauncey Billups, after saying, you know, I learned a lot from these incidents, it helped shape my life, he was asked specifically, what did you learn? And the PR people shut it down without even letting him answer, when he was very clearly getting ready to answer that. And you would have been better off letting him actually speak than just saying, we've already addressed that. So just really handled poorly all around. It's not a good situation at all. I think the way Portland did this, and now they've made a difficult situation even more difficult by the way they handled this introductory press conference.
Yeah, it was wild that it's somebody's job to like know how to handle these things, and they so clearly didn't know how to handle it. I saw the same clip you saw, and the media relations person stepped in and said, you know, after the reporter asked Chauncey, you said you learned some things from that from that incident. What did you learn? The media relations person steps in and says, that's already been asked and answered. We're moving on. The truth is, it had not been asked and answered. And so you could have let everybody ask every question today, get it all out. If you're going to take hits, take them. And then everybody does move on because, you know, you can't talk about it every day for the rest of the Chauncey Billups era. They really did turn this and twist it into, you know, something that could have been a one-day story today, and now these questions are going to linger, and they'll be asked about it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Now what you're facing is next time he's probably in front of the media will be likely if they make, you know, major transactions, or it'll be, you know, when they start training camp here in a few months. And what will happen then is you're probably going to get asked somewhat similar questions at that point. Then you're going to be asked it, you know, likely when you're on the road for the first time in front of, different media who aren't there in your local market. So that is really a situation where you like you said, you could have kind of gotten it out of the way today. And that's glossing over it a little to put it that way. And that kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. But you could have handled it today and then, you know, kept things moving in that direction and really sparked probably some productive conversation and the like, but they chose to go a different direction.
Like John Canzano, the longtime columnist at the Oregonian, you know, has just tweeted a link to his column. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the tweet reads this way. The introductory news conference for Chauncey Billups should have been reassuring and a unifying event for Portland's fan base. The Trailblazers somehow kicked it away. That's what they're dealing with after the way they handled that this afternoon. There's some speculation that it's no longer if Dame Lillard will ask out of Portland, just a matter of when and how. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think we're closer to that than we've ever been. I think what we're going to ultimately see here with this situation is Chris Haynes, who reported that, you know, initially that he was close to asking out, is closer to Dame than anyone in the media is. So if anybody's going to have a sense on it, it'll be Chris. And we're to a point now where I think if you're Damian Lillard, what you've been able to do so far to this point is said, hey, I've done everything that was ever asked of me. I stayed here. I've been trying to win here. Now, you know, I'm being put on, you know, blast by the fans for the first time, and that doesn't feel great. And, you know, alongside that, I have not been, you know, able to win. So I am, you know, maybe ready to move on and try to do it somewhere else. And that, you know, to some respect, that becomes a superstar's right. If, you know, if you've done everything you feel you can do, that's your right to ask for a trade. And I think that's where we're at with Damian Lillard.
The first thing I thought of when I saw Chris Haynes report that Damian Lillard is seriously considering asking out is that I remember Chris Haynes reporting a story a few years ago in the playoffs from Damian Lillard's house. Like, you know, like what, like the guy who was at Damian Lillard's house and is clearly tight with Dame is reporting this. That suggests to me that we're headed down that path, but we'll see. Let's go to last night, Western Conference Finals. Were you surprised the Clippers handled the Suns with few problems last night?
I was. I thought the Suns at home with a banged up Clippers team were going to put them away. I really thought that they'd come out, but this Clippers team has been nothing if not extremely resilient. They, you know, the jokes were, you know, the Clippers have them right where they want them.
Right.
You know, it's not the preferred way to go about winning playoff series, but maybe this is, you know, this something that they found that seems to work. But it's definitely going to be one of those things where they are going to have to really play great again to get it done, and then play great again on top of that. But if you can get it to a game seven, all of that pressure reverts back to Phoenix, because the Clippers, to some extent, will be playing with house money. And if you're the Suns, you know how that's going to go in your home building. Every time you miss a shot, If the other team goes on a little run, it's going to be uneasy. You're going to have all that nervousness, and that builds up pretty quickly and can get to a situation, you know, where it gets to be kind of difficult. So it's going to be interesting to see how this happens. I think this year the Suns, of course, you want to get this thing closed out in six and get moving on towards the finals.
Have we reached the point where we're just not going to see Kawhi Leonard again this season?
Yeah, I'm starting to think it might be that way. I'd be shocked if we see him in this series. I don't think we're even close to that. Maybe if they make the finals, maybe there can be something there. But it is a little odd that we're not getting any real kind of clarity on what exactly is going on, how long he's expected to be out. But I attribute that to it's the playoffs. It's a little bit of gamesmanship. Let's, you know, keep the door open and make the Suns at least, you know, have it in the back of their mind that he could play.
Wrapping up here with Keith Smith, a longtime NBA writer on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. Last thing before I let you go. Game four, Hawks and Bucks tonight, State Farm Arena, downtown Atlanta. Two parts. Do we know how healthy Trae Young is or is not? And B, in general, do you expect the Hawks to bounce back tonight?
Yeah, so the first one, we don't know yet. We're going to find out here fairly soon. I imagine we'll start to get, you know, news trickling out of, you know, what he was looking like in his as he goes through his warm-up process and all of those things. So we'll see, you know, how that comes together with him. But if he's not able to go and be at least something close to the Trae Young that he usually is, that they're going to struggle to beat Milwaukee. We I know they, you know, have good talent in that, but that's a position where they just don't have any depth. They just don't have, you know, really good players behind him. It's a struggle. It's Lou Williams and then not a whole heck of a lot else, because it's probably then Chris Dunn, who's been injured and hasn't played much this entire season. So I think it's going to be really, interesting to see how they put that together. Now, if he's able to go, I think they'll be right there. I think they'll be in the mix. And you know, we maybe had it back to Milwaukee with this thing evened up. If not, if Milwaukee wins, I think that there's a good chance, just like the Sun, this could be over in five.
You're always terrific, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That's Keith Smith on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA. I did see today, looking at the Action Network, had some sharp action coming in on the Atlanta Hawks tonight.
Oh, really?
That suggests that they at least believe that Trae Young's going to be okay.
I mean, I think he's for sure going to give it a go. Like, there's no way the dude's just going to sit out. Like, I think if he's 50%, he gives it a go.
I mean, he
played in the rest of that game.
Yeah, he came back and played.
Yeah.
They just lost momentum when he went away, and
they
never got it back. I'm with you. I don't think there's any doubt he plays, but as we've seen with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and various other players throughout this postseason, like, playing and being healthy enough to flourish are two very different things. Can you play?
Right.
Sure. Can you play the way you normally play? We'll see. I bet you he's way closer to 100% than 50%, but I don't know what it looks like, and we might not know until, you know, they throw the ball up. Either way, it should be a fun game.
I'm ready.
7:30 tip.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
These 8 o'clock till. Last night, I was up a little too late last night.
I'm with you. My eyes were getting a little heavy.
I just looked up at one point, and it was like, I don't know. The game drifted into, there's this new Ghislaine Maxwell three-part documentary on Peacock.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know Ghislaine Maxwell?
That's the Jeffrey Epstein
Jeffrey Epstein.
Mistress, or what was her title?
Well, she was
handler?
She was basically the woman who went out and recruited the young girls who were ultimately abused by Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
She's in jail right now, awaiting trial in November. So I had started watching that yesterday afternoon, and so the game was over last night, the 8 o'clock tip, and that took us to, you know, whatever it was, 10:30. And then I watched an episode of the Ghislaine Maxwell documentary last night, and I looked up, and it was like 12:30. I was like, what am I doing awake at this hour? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't live this life anymore. So I've been struggling all day. I'm a little tired right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm fine. But, like, you know, my eyes have been a little heavy all day. But tonight, 7:30 tip. So we can reasonably get to bed at a decent hour. You can reasonably assume you're going to be able to get to bed at a decent hour. So sign me up for that. And I hope Trae Young's healthy and we have a competitive game.
Me too.
That's all I want. Trae Young healthy and a competitive game. And maybe a couple shimmies. I always enjoy them. Sporting News published a list of the best college football coaches at the Division I level, 1 through 130. Nick Saban was number one. Should be no surprise. Dabo number two. That makes sense. After that, I guess you could start debating things. Where is Mike Norvell? Where is Lane Kiffin? Where is Mike Leach? Where is Ryan Silverfield? We'll go through that list next. Listen to Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perverseness. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Jeff Karkus is award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Karkus Show, weekdays 9 to 11. It's right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's going to join me a little bit after 5 o'clock, but right now, got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Earlier today, the Sporting News published a ranking of the best college football coaches in the country, 1 to 130. In other words, every one of the Division I coaches. Condolences to Maurice Lindquist, the Buffalo head coach. He ranks 130th.
Really?
Imagine waking up on June 29th and somebody identifies you as the worst Division I coach in college football.
I didn't think Buffalo was that bad. I must be wrong.
I think he's a new coach, first-year coach.
Oh, new first-year coach. Yeah, okay.
The Sporting News are going to make him prove it.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I get that.
They're going to make him prove it. So I've already told you. No surprise, Nick Saban is number one. He's the head coach at Alabama.
Oh, I'm familiar with his work.
Dabo Swinney's number two. He's the head coach at Clemson. Who do you think's number three?
Ooh.
Let's see how many of the top ten you can get, Big Bet Bennett.
Dude,
trivia time.
I don't know.
Who's number three? Just start naming coaches that you think could be in the top ten, and I'll tell you where they're at.
Brian Kelly.
Number four.
Okay, not number three. Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell is the highest-ranked AAC coach, but he's not in the top 10. He is actually 13th.
Okay, who is my that's not who I was thinking of, by the way. Who's my head coach at Oklahoma?
Lincoln Riley.
He's three.
He is number three.
Yeah. Okay, and then, man, who the heck am I going to get outside of? I bet Norvell's top 10.
Mike Norvell.
20.
Is number 67.
Woo!
That's disrespectful.
That seems a little disrespectful.
That's wildly disrespectful.
Think they're going to be good. Where's Fuente?
51.
I bet Ryan Silverfield's ranked ahead of both of them. How about that?
Ryan Silverfield is not. He's 71.
Oh, come on. Fickell was 13, so he's the highest ranked outside of the Power Five, I'm guessing.
I don't know if that's right. Let's see. Let me see who 11 and 12 are.
Is Clay Helton in the top 10?
It is true that Luke Fickell is the highest ranked coach outside of the Power Five. He's 13th. He, of course, is the head coach at Cincinnati. Who did you just ask me about?
Clay Helton, USC.
Clay Helton is number 25.
Okay.
Former Memphis assistant.
Right. I'm trying to think SEC.
You've got the top four.
Oh, Dan Mullen's got to be in there.
Dan Mullen's number 8 at Florida.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got the top four. Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly. Number 8 is Dan Mullen. You have 5 spots left in the top 10.
Okay. I can't think of his name. Who's the head coach at Ohio State now?
Ryan Day.
Yeah, Ryan Day's got to be in the top 10.
He's number 6.
Okay. Dude, I mean, I don't know who I'm, like, missing out on here. Who's the guy at TCU? Just because he's longevity and they go to bowls all the time.
Gary Patterson would be his name.
Uh-huh.
He's number 22.
Okay.
I will tell you two of the five coaches you haven't named that are in the top 10. Actually, yeah, two of the five remaining in the top 10 that you haven't mentioned have both won national championships. But neither of them are at the school at which they won a national championship.
I'm not going to be able to get it then. I don't know, GP.
Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M is number 5, won a national championship at Florida State. Number 6 is Ryan Day. Number 7 is Kirby Smart at Georgia.
Okay.
Number 8 is Dan Mullen at Florida. Number 9 is Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Kind of wild that he's still at Iowa State.
I bet the Northwestern coach is ranked pretty high.
The Northwestern coach is Pat Fitzgerald. He is number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, the last coach in the top 10, is Mack Brown, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Won a national championship at Texas. Ed Orgeron is 14. Jim Harbaugh, like Michigan's always thinking about firing him. He's 15.
How about that? Now, I'm surprised by that.
Lane Kiffin is 26. Mike Leach is 28. Hugh Freeze is 30th. That's too low for Hugh Freeze. You can say whatever you want to about Hugh Freeze. The guy's a good football coach.
I did not do very good right there.
You didn't, Big Ben Bennett.
No, that was tough.
Gus Malzahn at 36. Too low.
I think so.
There are not 35 college football coaches better than Gus Malzahn.
Where's Gus? Is he at Arkansas State now?
Is it UCF?
That's right. He's at UCF. Who's at Arkansas State?
Butch Jones.
That's right. Okay, I'm getting everybody confused.
He's at number 88. Butch Jones is 88. David Cutcliffe is number 44 at Duke. Josh Heupel, the new Tennessee coach, is number 39. There is no scenario where you could argue Josh Heupel should be 39 and Mike Norvell is 67.
No, that's silly.
That's ridiculous.
It really is.
This is a flawed list, Big Bet Bennett. Major issues.
I'm not loving Ryan Silverfield at 70 either. I think that seems a little disrespectful. Where was he, like 70-something?
71.
Can you give me some names surrounding Ryan Silverfield?
You damn right I can, Big Bet Bennett. 71 is Ryan Silverfield. Number 70 is Sean Clark at Appalachian State.
Okay, give me a break.
He's one spot behind Sean Clark at Appalachian State.
I'm unfamiliar with Sean's work. I know Ryan Silverfield's only got a year under his belt.
This is ridiculous. Shane Beamer is 66 and Mike Norvell is 67. Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer?
No.
Like, Shane Beamer might do okay at South Carolina. I have no idea. Mike Norvell has won conference championships. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Then he inherited a mess at Florida State, and he's trying to fix it, but it's going to take a minute.
I think they did good at the top, but I think this list gets a little out of control once you get down in the, like, 60s and 70s range.
It's wildly disrespectful to the great Mike Norvell. I take offense to this silly list.
Story number 2.
Vanderbilt won game 1 College World Series final last night.
Yep.
8-2. Jack Leiter went 6 innings, only gave up 3 hits, struck out 8, 2 earned runs, but the game was never really competitive. You know, Vanderbilt came out, scored 7 runs in the first inning to go up 7-1, and that was that. You down 7-1 with Jack Leiter on the other side of you.
Right.
You're going to try to start focusing on game two. So game two is tonight. Vanderbilt is the favorite once again. And I will tell you, I don't feel badly for the NC State team. They got removed from the College World Series because they were removed from the College World Series based on the fact that they took unvaccinated players to Omaha. Those unvaccinated players were subject to testing and contact tracing. 4 of them tested positive. Contact trace wiped out the rest. And then when that triggered testing of even the vaccinated players and 4 of them tested positive, that was that. Don't take unvaccinated players to the College World Series, and you're still playing in the College World Series if you're NC State, probably. But I will say, it screwed Mississippi State because Vanderbilt, under normal circumstances, would have had to play NC State on Saturday, and Jack Leiter would have thrown that game.
Yeah, that's true.
And he would not have been able to pitch Monday night.
Right. You're looking at him tonight, right?
No, you got Leiter last night. But, like, he would not have been.
Saying in that scenario.
I mean, would he have pitched Saturday, Tuesday?
That's the thing.
I mean, I don't know how quickly they turn around in college baseball, if I'm being honest with you. But you had to play a Vanderbilt team that didn't have to play on Saturday. Saturday could have eaten up Jack Leiter and some of that bullpen. And instead, everybody rests because NC State gets removed, and now you got to deal with Leiter in game one, and they still got Kumar Rocker waiting to go if he needs to go. So Mississippi State got screwed by NC State being stupid. That's too bad. But if Mississippi State doesn't beat Vanderbilt 2 times in a row, the Commodores will be back-to-back national champions. Won it in 2019, no College World Series last year because of the dumb pandemic. But 2021, we got another one, and Vanderbilt's just 1 win away from winning it.
Story number 3.
Serena Williams retired from her first round match at Wimbledon earlier today with a left leg injury. Rough scene. Did you see this?
I did. Yeah, I felt bad for her.
She was up 3-1, and then she slipped twice on the grass. And I didn't have it on, but I saw people tweeting about it, so then I turned it on. Just hard. Like, I feel like I've seen Serena Williams cry more than I've seen, like, actual people I know cry.
Right.
You know?
Yes. I mean, this could be her last Wimbledon, right?
I mean, she's 39 years old.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a massive event.
Like, she's still good enough to be great, but I don't know that she's great enough to win another major. I'd love to be wrong. You know, she's going to take another shot at the U.S. Open, but this is one that, you know, people think, like, if she's ever going to win another one, like, Wimbledon could be it. And then she just goes out there and slips, and clearly not the same, couldn't move, started crying, had to withdraw. Retire. How you got? And so I was like, "Is this just a Serena thing?" But then they were showing highlights of an earlier match, like the dude who was playing Roger Federer. I'm not even going to try with these names. But the guy who was playing Roger Federer was on the same court, same end of the court as Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Slipped. Same deal. Same spot.
What the hell's going on?
What are they doing with these tennis courts in Wimbledon?
Yeah, something's wrong there.
Fix your grass.
Fix your freaking grass.
Fix your freaking grass. You got Serena Williams, she's 39 years old, still trying to play tennis against women half her age, and you can't fix your grass? She's falling. She can't be just falling down out there, slipping and sliding.
No.
So it's the Serena Williams. And so you get into, you know, Chris Everett on the broadcast and accurately saying, like, listen, Serena is the GOAT. Doesn't matter what happens from this point forward. She's the best to have ever done this. And that is undeniably true. But, man, it feels like she's still chasing something, you know? It's like she's still chasing one more major.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she doesn't get it, it appears devastating to her. Like, I don't think she was crying today because she was in pain, hurting. I think she was crying today because she realized, I don't have many of these opportunities left. And I worked so hard to get back to this moment, and now I slip and suffer an injury. And now it's just on to the next one. You know, when you're that age and you're chasing that thing and you know you only got a handful of realistic opportunities left, if you've got any at all, to watch it fall apart like that must be heartbreaking, devastating, disappointing. So I think the tears were tied to that way more than they were tied to my knee actually hurts, I'm in pain. She just knew she couldn't play anymore. And I guess that'll get you pretty good. So just a rough scene at Wimbledon today. Serena Williams is out.
Story number 4.
Memphis police have charged an off-duty officer in a fatal crash in which two people were killed last week. That's the first sentence from Yolanda Jones at the Daily Memphian. The officer's name, Antonio Marshall, 27 years old. And if you saw any of these pictures or the video from that accident last week that happened on Walnut Grove, you knew that this off-duty officer was traveling at an incredible height.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.